Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast. Hot Takes Wednesday edition. Oh. Yes, we are back once again to talk through some big social media hot takes from the Formula One world. And of course, joining me back from holiday, fresh faced as always, looks about 17. It's Tom Bellingham.
Hello.
Welcome back, Tom.
Happy to be back. Yeah. Enjoyed just putting my feet up while you guys were on the level 8,000 hype train on Twitch when all the Piastri drama was kicking off. But yeah, it's good to be back so I can have some opinions again.
Oh, you didn't have opinions people. When you were on holiday. You just lost all of your opinions. Yeah.
Yeah. Just annoying my wife with them. Just being Twitch Tommy, just randomly shouting F1 hot takes.
Oh God. Oh, Twitch Tommy came out in your household. I'm so sorry to Katie, your wonderful wife. But right, what we're going to do, we've got 6 pre-selected hot takes that we're going to dive into, and then we're going to go to the live Twitch chat. We're live on Twitch right now. If you want to watch us live rather than listen to us on audio, then you can come and join us, WTF1 official, and you can get involved that way as well. So yeah, come join us. We're doing lots of live streams, lots of reactive stuff as well. So yeah, WTF1 official on Twitch. Right, here we go then. It's the first hot take of the evening, and I haven't seen them, by the way. Tommy knows. Tommy's seen them. I haven't. I don't know which one this is. This might be the one that Tommy wished that was supposed to be the last one. Either way, the first hot take. No, not Katie Fairman. That's another Katie. Is Tommy's wife. Here we go. First hot take of the evening is Lance Stroll is one of the most underrated drivers on the grid, with a pole position and multiple podiums without ever having a top car. And that comes in from Poet _ Game.
Minus Ooh. 5.
Yeah. So remember how we grade this is 1 is you don't agree with this hot take at all. 5, you agree with it a lot. I do not agree with this in one bit, really. I don't think he's underrated. I will put my hands up and say, fair enough. He has had some great performances a few years ago. Obviously, Turkey, when he had pole position that time and potentially could have won, but obviously didn't. And it all kind of went a little bit wrong for him, didn't it?
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I think Lance has gone off the boil a little bit. He was pretty decent. As I said, picking up some random results. If it's a crazy race, he was there. He was getting podiums in races that you maybe wouldn't expect him to do that. So fair enough. And I think he is genuinely a good driver, but to say he's underrated and one of the most underrated drivers on the grid, I think is a big stretch. I don't think he's been particularly good this year in particular.
I wish we hadn't done this one first because I wanted to build myself up for some savage opinions.
No, just go in. Unleash
I'm going
the Twitch
in already.
Tommy.
I think that Lance Stroll is one of those drivers that people just think they're quirky by going, oh, he's so underrated because people get annoyed at him. And people get annoyed at him because obviously he's paid his way in, but I think he's one of those drivers that he probably does deserve to be in like an Aston Martin team where he's sort of middle of the road, kind of. He's, as the kids would call, mid. He's very mid.
That's when you know, but we're getting old, Tommy.
Yeah,
right? When
yeah.
We say that's what the kids
would say. But the thing that one thing is, I actually researched into this. I had a quick look, and I was like, oh, just for fairness, I'll look at Lance Stroll's career and see if I'm maybe,
washed,
underrating him, and I'm washed and he is the greatest of all time. He's looking at his results, he's actually worse than I thought he was, which is quite savage, I know. 2017, this whole theory that he's got multiple podiums and, oh, he's always there in a crazy race and gets on the podium. He has three podiums. One of them was 2017 Azerbaijan, when literally everyone could have won. And yes, fair play to him. He kept it on the road. Hülkenberg, that is like fair play, Stroll. Great result, especially in your rookie season. Well done, you hun, as Katie would say. But where Twitch Tommy's coming out, and I'm going to drop some opinions of my own here. The 2020 Racing Point was a brilliant car. A brilliant car. And I will go on record and call me washed, whatever. Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen are easily getting about 7 or 8 podiums in that car, finishing third in the title. And Lance Stroll finished 11th in the championship in that car, which I think was a, like, when Perez got the hang of it at the end, you saw how good that car was. And his podiums came at Monza, where, in my opinion, he basically got presented with a chance to win that race. And I'd argue that he actually bottled the race because he got the free tire change, didn't he? And was basically on the front row against Gasly in a very good car.
Oh, that's finished the biggest bottle in the history
exactly.
of time.
So that's one of his podiums of that year. And then the only other podium he scored that year was Sakir. And Sergio Perez won that race from last, and Stroll finished third. So what does that say? There you go.
Tommy's a Stroll hater. We love it. Oh, my days. Yeah, it's fair. I think he deserves to be in Formula One. I don't think you could just say he is a pay driver and doesn't have any skill. When you look, for example, this year, he's not getting trounced by Vettel. Like, Vettel's had a few good performances, but generally speaking, Stroll is there or thereabouts against a four-time champ. Yeah, Seb's probably not at his peak right now, and Stroll definitely should be, but it's not like he's 2-3 seconds off the pace and this, you know, labelled pay driver that a lot of people call him. On the other hand, I don't think you can really say that he is one of the most underrated drivers of the grid. I would put him just above Latifi in the sense of, you know, he's kind of on the edge of, yeah, you know, I can see him doing all right in a team, but he's not anything special.
He's one of those drivers.
It's good,
like,
that you listed it out.
Yeah, he's one of those drivers, in my opinion, that I'd rate him alongside of the kind of midfielders that come and go, like a Gutierrez or a Marcus Ericsson or something like that, where they're certainly not bad drivers. But
you wouldn't
miss them if they left. Yeah, exactly. And I think the frustration with Stroll's career comes at, if he left, you'd be like, right, you're not the worst driver in the world, but it's probably like a Giovinazzi, where you're like, right, it's time to give someone else a go now. And I think the frustration with Stroll comes at the fact that, you know, he's going to be in that seat for the rest of time, when realistically his performances haven't deserved it.
He's had a few great moments, as we mentioned. I think the fact that his dad owns the team has a negative impact on his performance quite significantly. You know, he's...
doesn't seem to enjoy F1.
He doesn't seem to enjoy F1. It seems like he's living his dad's dream, if anything. Like, he is a talented driver. You wouldn't be in Formula One and performing at that level if you weren't talented. But how do you wake up in the morning and push hard to be the absolute best athlete you can be, unless, one, you have the hunger to win a million world titles, which I don't think he particularly does. And then, two, knowing that your job's never going to be at risk because your dad's paying you and your dad's hiring you. So I can understand why he may lack potential motivation when it comes to being the best driver he can be. But hey, look, I mean, he's just driving F1 cars for a living. I'm sure he's absolutely fine with that as a job, and travel the world and have a good time. As for the poll, 69%, nice, have voted one. Overwhelming amount have said that it is they do not agree with this particular take from Poet Game, but fair play, you know, thank you for your submission all the same, Poet Game. But Lance Stroll is washed. I think we can fully and absolutely agree with that.
I agree with this take from Mark Boots in our Twitch chat that says Lance had one race that made us think he was maybe underrated, but actually that race made us overrate him a little bit. Yeah, totally agree.
Very good point. Very good point indeed. Okay, should we move on to hot take number two? You're supposed to say yes, Tommy. Are you
yeah, gone then. I
Tommy, you have to think about the audio listeners here that have seen you nod and that you muted yourself.
I clicked the wrong button.
Right, Tommy, are you ready for hot take number two?
Go on then.
Oh, go on.
Go on then.
Here we go then. Comes in from, hi, my name is Walks, and it is. Logan Sargeant racing for Williams wouldn't increase support for F1 in America for longer than a handful of races.
Agreed.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Americans don't want to watch. They'll enjoy the novelty of him. Ooh. They'll enjoy the novelty of him being in Formula One and having American. But I was thinking about this, and one thing you said to me when you went to Miami and you asked me who's the one that everyone was cheering, and it was Max Verstappen.
The winner.
They like winners. Yeah. They like winners. They loved Hamilton. They love Max now. They probably love... In 2006 or whatever, when we raced India, I know it was after the dreadful USA 2005 nightmare and stuff, but was everyone in Scott Speed merchandise?
No, I was going to say Scott Speed, yeah.
Or were they in Michael Schumacher hats? No, they were in Michael Schumacher hats. So they want winners, and I don't think someone finishing 13th in a Williams is going to particularly excite them. It'd be good for Formula One a bit and to have a home hero, even like Rossi, right? Rossi came in and it wasn't like Kota went absolutely mad when Alexander Rossi was in the manor.
Yeah.
So, it's a shame.
I think it's an interesting point, really, because I think, to be fair, Hi, My Name is Walks, who submitted this, has pretty much probably nailed it on the head. I thought, now that, you know, looking at it, I was actually kind of the opinion it would be good for the, you know, the US market to have someone that is a US driver racing in Formula One. But then the big point is that they'd be racing for Williams. And I think if Logan Sargeant goes to Ferrari or goes to Red Bull, obviously he's not going to, I think that would exponentially change the American sort of...
If like Herta went to McLaren or something, it's a bit more spicy, isn't it?
That's going to spike the interest of a lot more Americans, in my opinion. It's a good point. I still think Williams would benefit from Logan Sargeant being in Formula One as opposed to Nicholas Latifi. And I think that's definitely worth the risk, because we know where Latifi's ceiling is. And unfortunately, the ceiling isn't very high when it comes to his performances. He's not, you know, he's never really been he was fastest in FP3 and Purple Sector 1 in the Hungarian GP qualifying. But I think it's worth the risk, personally. You know, Williams have said previously, we don't need the money. We're just looking, you know, for good drivers and stuff. They got to bin off Latifi and put someone else in that car. Logan Sargeant might well be just as good as Latifi, but you don't know until you try. So, in my opinion, it's definitely worth a go. I've been changed. My opinion was originally like, yeah, US market, Logan Sargeant, they're gonna be right behind him, but if they're finishing last every race, that's just not going to be something the Americans are going to get behind. And as you say, my Miami experience was, very much Verstappen and whoever was winning kind of vibes.
Yeah, and also look at the attendance of Kota and stuff before they had an American driver. Oh, they've got
Tommy,
no more tickets to sell.
Tommy, I just realized we forgot to rate the first one.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah, the first one. One. Okay. There you go. And this one, I think it's a straight five.
The more we've spoken about it, the more I've convinced, they probably don't think twice. Genuinely, next year at Kota, if we go back to Kota, Miami, how many realistically people are going to be in Williams hats and Logan Sargeant hats? Not a big percentage, and not many people are buying their tickets because of Logan Sargeant. That's not to discredit him, but
To the Williams pop-up store in Miami and had a little look around. Obviously, you know, there were quite a few people that turned up when Latifi and Albon were there signing stuff. I think for those particular races, there's going to be an influx of people. If Logan Sargeant is racing for them, I think there'll be a lot of interest in that specific moment. You know, if we have American races, I'm sure there'll be a spike. I don't think it'll be a long-term thing, which is very good. So, okay, cool. I'm going to give that a five, Tommy. You're giving that a five as well?
Yeah, five as well. That's gone for a four. Stuff.
Oh, chat has gone for a four. 51%. have gone for a 4, 28% a 5, 12% 3, 6% 2, and 2% 1. Interesting stuff. Okay, right. The third hot take of the evening comes in from Julian 317982 07, and it is Norris will be the only non-Ferrari / Red Bull / Mercedes driver to get a podium this year.
Sad but true.
Nah, Alonso's getting a podium this year.
See,
believe.
I want to believe, but I don't believe.
Come on, we're gonna have one crazy race from here to the end of the season. Surely.
You know what? The only reason I don't think it will happen is because, well, there are three factors. One is Max Verstappen doesn't matter where he starts, apparently, or whatever, he will be on the podium. If Sergio and the two Ferraris fall off the road, it's like, oh, that opens up a chance. Mercedes bag every possible result. So there's the other two podium slots right there. Mm. And then I almost think that, like, because overtaking is quite a lot easier, you don't get those races where someone's like completely stuck now, like Ocon at Hungary or something. Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't go as far as saying like I'd put my house on it, but it's very much like I'd go with a 4. It amazes me that he has got a podium. And this is probably in a great season, in my opinion, and lots of exciting racing. I think this is one of the things that has maybe let it down a little bit. If I had to kind of be a negative Nancy and say, I don't like Paul, which people think we are, because we have opinions, but no, I'd say a 4 maybe.
Okay, I'm going to go. I'm relying on a crazy race, which I think as one example. We got Spa coming up, all of these changeable conditions. I'm gonna go with a 1. It's gonna happen.
I hope you're right.
We're gonna get an Alpine on the podium. They're gonna scrape 1 this year, I think. So yeah, I'm gonna completely disagree with it. My brain's going 5, but my heart's going 1. So I'm going with a 1.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, to be fair. Stuff enjoying the chat says rain's the most likely thing to cause it. Totally agree. 100%. It needs to be an absolute bonkers race where the top guys all fit the wrong tires or something and it's chaos.
For example, Canada. Alonso, without his issues with his car that he had.
Yeah.
I know he claims a lot, Mr. Fernando Alonso, but he did say that, you know, the podium was on the cards and he had the same pace as the Mercedes. So I reckon Fernando, he's not past his prime at all. He's ready to stick a little podium on. And I know you'd absolutely love that, Tommy. So,
I would love that.
As would I.
Everyone. Okay, here we go. I know a lot of chat mentioned this at the start. I will do a shoey if Alonso gets a podium.
Okay.
On the stream.
There you go. A shoey on the stream when Alonso does a podium. Just like at the beginning of the year when you said you were going to have a Pepsi and milk combination if Mercedes didn't get a podium and then both Red Bulls DNF.
On the last lap and Hamilton got it.
Oh, you're luckiest man ever. Right. The poll suggests 3. 3 out of 5 is 48% of you have voted for that. And then we've got a kind of even split between 2 and 4. We've got 10% for 5 and then 8% for 1.
Split the room, that one, I think.
That did split the room. A 3 is very much a I don't know, isn't it, really? So,
yeah. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Okay, kind of agree, kind of don't. Right. Shall we have our next take? I think we should. It comes in from Dragon Slayer _9. Piastri should have signed with Alpine. Boom.
Oh, okay. Big on this one.
Piastri should have signed with Alpine. I am going to say no. There has been strong evidence to suggest that whatever the inner workings of Alpine haven't really worked. We've had Daniel Ricciardo go there on a big old deal. and then, you know, stuck around for a little while, saw what was going on, and then thought, absolutely not, I'm off to McLaren. We have Alonso, who decides to go to an Aston Martin next year over staying at Alpine. Like, just let that sink in, how Alpine have taken decent steps forward. Alonso has said, you know, they're creating this, you know, package and moving forward, whatever, yada, yada, yada. He's gone, nope, I've got more of a chance of winning a championship with Aston Martin. And of course, I'm sure there is a good old golden handshake in there as well with some serious cash money from Lawrence Stroll. But the fact is, the way that Alonso went as well, he wanted to cause maximum damage. So whatever's going on in Alpine right now, not working too well.
No,
I think
Piastri
has got a fantastic opportunity if he does go to McLaren. And he's got a damn good junior record as well. He is highly rated. We won't find out how good he is until, of course, he is racing in Formula One. But he's got a great opportunity to turn up at McLaren, beat Lando Norris, and all of a sudden he's the hottest property on the market.
So true. Yeah, I thought, we had the discussion, I think it's when you rang me on the Twitch stream and said, like, you'd probably want to be at Alpine, but I've changed my mind as well, because at first I thought, no, settle in at Alpine. You know, if you don't beat Ocon, you're finding your feet. But then if you beat Ocon, people are going to be like, okay, yeah, Piastri's pretty good. If you beat Lando at McLaren, like you say, you are getting talks from like everyone. Everyone wants you. He's the next big thing if he beats Lando at McLaren. So that's a huge opportunity. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because obviously if he goes there and he is Danny Rick washed, do we get the opinion that it's the same as Red Bull, where, oh, you can only, it's Lando's team, you can't go up against him, he's going to be a teammate killer, but they will always back themselves. You know, even Gasly would go back to Red Bull, even though everyone thinks that's a terrible idea, because F1 drivers will back themselves to the hill and go, I can do this. And I'm sure Piastri is the same. And yeah, McLaren look like a better prospect than Alpine, because Alpine have been a bit of a joke, dare I say, recently, because there is something going on there. Ricciardo left really quickly. Another thing that I remembered the other day was Alan Prost, actually, obviously wasn't a driver, but he was a manager and stuff. And he left and he was ranting, wasn't he, openly on Twitter, saying, this is a joke. Screw you, Alpine, pretty much, as he left. What is going on at that team? So he must know a lot, even more, not just that what Alonso knows for him to leave, but the fact that Piastri would immediately burn his bridges with them straight away at the first opportunity. He didn't, with that tweet, he could have quite easily just either kept quiet or gone, I don't think this is correct. But the last sentence of, I am not driving for Alpine, is a statement of intent. So there's something clearly weird going on at Alpine. So yeah, I think McLaren, yeah, I'm not 100% like, yeah, definitely. So I'd give this one a 2 rather than a 1.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 2 as well. Chat have gone for a 1, 49%, quite overwhelming majority there. 27% for 2, 11% for 5. So there are some that believe that he should have gone. Yeah, I wonder how much he regrets maybe putting that last sentence in, especially if he's going to legally be forced into driving for Alpine next year. Can you imagine the first time back at the factory after that? That would be quite something.
Or, because there's even talk that Daniel Ricciardo says, no, you're right, don't want to be embarrassed and go back to Alpine, I'll stay. I'm allowed to stay within my right because I've got a contract. He doesn't accept the money to do it. And Piastri has another year on the sidelines as a McLaren reserve and has to wait another year. Then, yeah, you'd go, maybe you should have gone to Alpine. At the moment, I'd say no. If he's the reserve driver at McLaren next year, I'd say yes. Maybe we should have said that.
Yeah.
He needs to start driving.
And, he does.
Yeah. He does. And I totally understand why he did did what he did and started looking elsewhere because we all thought Alonso was going to stay. And he can't wait around forever because he might be a forgotten champion where people don't go to it. So
I explored this theory with Katie, but I'll get your opinions on it as well, Tommy. And it's about the fact of has Piastri's approach to all of this potentially sort of blown back in his face a little bit, because you know what, if he's signed something with McLaren or got, you know, if he's got a Zak Brown handshake, all of a sudden he's not actually in as powerful position as a powerful as position as if he's signed something. And you make a very good point about Daniel Ricciardo, and he could just turn around and say, actually no, I don't want your 20 million or whatever it is payout, I'm going to stay and drive next year. That then puts Piastri in such an awkward and less powerful position where all of a sudden he said that he's not going to drive for Alpine. McLaren can make a decision on whatever they want in this case. And, you know, Piastri's burnt the Alpine bridge behind him looking at the McLaren pearly gates. And then McLaren, yeah, like, well, actually.
And imagine if they just stick like an average F2 driver in the seat and Piastri's like, oh, God's sake.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was, this is obviously just guesswork at this point, but maybe a little bit of shooting from the hip from there, but we'll see. I'm sure we'll hear in the next, you know, weeks, maybe even months potentially, of when this whole legal battle is sorted out.
He signed a pact with Alonso. Him and Piastri were like, let's take him down together.
I can imagine them having like a video call beforehand where Alonso was there, you know, by that whatever he was before he posted on the Insta story, like, right, let's move on to the next hot take. And it comes in from RCHECR, and it is: Lewis Hamilton will retire this year if he doesn't win a race this season. No.
No. One.
No. One. Zero.
No chance.
Not even possible to be a zero.
No.
I think Hamilton is, one, incredibly motivated after what happened last year in Abu Dhabi. Of course, there was a moment where he had to reflect and whatever. You know, the moment that he had to reflect on. But he's clearly got over that now, or he's pushing on and he's trying to make that Mercedes car a winning car again. And I strongly believe that Mercedes are going to come good and they're going to start winning races again. And I think the last thing Hamilton wants to do is give up. At the start of, you know, these new regulations where Mercedes are still developing, but they still fully believe in their philosophy that, you know, that particular concept of car is going to be a bit of a worldie potentially next year. So I don't think he's going to retire until he's won at least an eighth world title. He might still be going till he's 50, but I don't think for a second that he's going to throw his toys out the pram if he's not winning. As long as he feels the desire and as long as he's able to put the work in and be the best driver he can be, I think he'll stay probably for another 2 or 3 years, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is clear. The last four, maybe even five, four or five races, it's just shown that he's still got it. Particularly like the last two, he is just pure class, basically, and still that elite driver, regardless of, you know, people saying how washed he was when he was running all these experimental flaws or whatever at the start of the season and finishing 13th behind Gasly. He's shown in those last few races that he's still got it. And as soon as that car is capable of winning, he is winning 100%. Like, he is definitely winning races. There's no doubt about it. And he's not going to just... I think the motivation will have come from those last few races and him just showing that, you know, he is there. And yeah, if they get that car, he is ready to challenge Verstappen again. And I'm sure we'll get a much spicier title fight if that's the case.
And let's not forget as well, George Russell. He's done a brilliant job this year joining Mercedes. So I don't think Hamilton will only have a fight with Red Bull and Ferrari if Mercedes get a decent car, but also George Russell, who is incredibly consistent, as we've seen this year, and tots up the points and picks up a lot of podiums and a lot of top fives. So I think he's also relishing in that rivalry a little bit as well. I think Hamilton, he's shown that, especially in the last sort of five or so races, that he's still got it and he's still very, very, very good, that he's not going to hang up his boots and his gloves anytime soon, which I think is great for the sport. I've said time and time again, the minute Lewis Hamilton retires is the minute people wake up and realize what he does for the sport and how important he is to the overall interest. He's similarly to Michael Schumacher in a lot of ways. Now, he has transcended the sport in so many ways and so many great ways as well, that when Hamilton does eventually decide to retire, the haters, I'm bored of dominance, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, you'll wake up and realize that Hamilton absolutely is key for Formula One.
Yeah, he's like Rossi in MotoGP. People will know him outside and will watch. Ask anyone in the street a question about F1 and people will be able to name one driver and it'll be Hamilton. So I know not everything's, there's more to life than Instagram, but I mean, he's got more Instagram followers than F1 themselves, and no F1 driver is anywhere near that. So yeah, he really has transcended the sport, and there'll be nothing that can like replace him when he goes. It would be a massive, even though there are great drives in Formula One, no doubt, you know, and this coming from a Max fanboy, like Hamilton is ridiculously huge for Formula One.
And he will leave a massive chasm, but thankfully he's not retiring anytime soon, hopefully. So, no.
And showing that he shouldn't, because he's damn good.
He damn good. Right. As for the, I think it was one. It was definitely a one that chat graded that one. It's a one from me as well. And it's a one from you, Tommy, I assume.
Yeah. Someone in the chat said worst take of the night. And I would agree.
Yeah. The coldest, but not a good cold take. You know how cold takes it. Yeah. Anyway, that's what the kids say. Right. Final pre-allocated hot take before we go to the WTF1 live Twitch audience for their hot takes, which we will, it was 84% was a one, which there you go, shows everything you need to know about what most people think, and don't listen to the echo chamber. The final hot take of the evening comes in from Harry Oliver 07, and it is: the Red Bull Academy gets way too much criticism. One. Why is everything the worst take?
Wait, gets too much criticism?
Yeah.
Unfairly, five.
Well, you think that it's they work well as an academy.
Yeah. We've just
with Helmut Marko at the helm.
Yeah, we've just rinsed Lance Stroll for being an F1 and taking up all the seats. They will bring in the best drivers, and if you're not good enough, see you later.
Okay. Well, the way I see this, right? Okay. They promote, I'm liking this. Good. Good conversation.
The chat agrees with us because it's either one or five and nothing else.
Yeah. And look at this. 39% have said one. 36% have said five.
Oh, yes. This is what we need. This
okay.
Is
I guess it's how you look at this, right? The way I'm looking at gets way too much criticism is the way that they treat drivers. I think that the way that they have, I mean, some drivers have absolutely deserved the criticism that they have received. And I'm sure I don't need to go into who exactly they are. I'm sure you've seen the news in the previous months and whatever. But I don't think that the way that they do the academy does not nurture talent in any way, shape or form. It is very much perform or cutthroat, gone, see you later. And fair enough, it's Formula One. You want the best drivers. You want people that can deliver under pressure. But when you're young, when you're trying to build all of these skills, I think that the Red Bull Academy, from what we've seen, and they bin off people so quickly, doesn't allow for that nurturing to happen. I do commend them that they promote the best drivers and they put them into teams, and that's the luxury of having two Formula One teams on the grid. But at the same time, there is a level where, you know, you hear murmurs and how they're actually treated, and, you know, the things that they get told after a bad race and yada, yada, yada. But I think that, yeah, I think that the criticism is fair.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't. I think that we want the best drivers in Formula One. We don't want people like Latifi and drivers just, you know, just being there for money. And they give them the opportunity, they throw money at them. And if you're not good enough, then, you know, it's you're off. Sorry, which is savage, but it's elite level sport. So it's not a charity. And I wouldn't, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't like it, but then I'm not an elite sportsman. So I think that's probably why they've been so successful. And even the drivers, you've got to think that they've supposedly like shafted like a science or whatever. So many of them are still in Formula One. And I'd much rather have people like Red Bull in the sport than Alpine, who haven't promoted anyone and now they finally have completely bottled it. So yeah, I think Ferrari did well of putting Leclerc and getting him up through the ranks and stuff. I do think Red Bull are actually a lot better than they used to be, and I think you can see that with Yuki Tsunoda, because I love Yuki Tsunoda to bits, but 5 years ago he's getting fired 100%. And he's surviving the program, so this is a good take. I'm a big fan of this take.
Five has won out with 45% of the vote, so well done, Tommy. One got 33%. Look, I'm just on the defense on the mental health side of things. I think that there is definitely more support that's potentially needed for some drivers that do get binned off. And I know it is a cutthroat sport and blah 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 blah. But from what some things you see,
it's interesting that Red Bull have kind of openly admitted that they're not an academy, though, that they're a driver program, and that they will basically throw money at you if you don't succeed. Goodbye. It's not a kind of training program, if you like. So they will...
It's an army program, the Red Bull Academy, like genuinely. You know what I mean? Like, they
and will... they've, yeah, exactly.
Put you through and the trenches.
Yeah. And the people, it is a sink or swim kind of situation. And I don't think, you know, it's perfect for certain people like Max Verstappen, Sebastian Vettel in his prime. They thrive in it. And that what makes them as good as they are. But the people that can't will never succeed in it. And it's savage. But we want the best drivers in Formula One. So I'd take that over the opposite side where it's just pay drivers coming in.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's perfect, but
I'm not saying by any stretch that that it hasn't been successful. I just think the way in which it goes about. I think Helmut Marko, and I think someone in chat said as well that he's toxic. Like, I think it's fair. I think it's fair to say that he does not have a filter in the slightest. And if you're on the receiving end of his non-filtered words, good luck. But yeah, great take from Harry Oliver 07. That was a great divisive one.
Love
but,
a divisive take. Though.
Yeah, love that. So well done, Harry. Right. Tommy, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I'm going to ask for some hot takes next week. And I want some more split the room, spicy, divisive ones like that Red Bull one.
Yeah,
please.
The Red Bull Academy one was brilliant.
That was quality.
Brilliant take. So have a think. Get involved in our social medias. That's where we'll be popping up for suggestions on TikTok, on Twitter, and so on. So get involved. Have a think of that. Thank you to Twitch for tuning in. WTF1 official, if you want to, if you listen to audio podcasts right now. We're now going to raid somebody. So thank you for listening if you're on the WTF1 podcast platforms. Love you long time. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.